Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back, baby. Woo! We are back, and we are really better than ever. As the Lions are going to be playing in the divisional round at Ford Field this Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as 6-point favorites. The city is lit. We're lit. This is the peak.
Lit.
This is right now. I mean, we still got a little more mountain to climb, but
thank you.
We are so close. It is 3 victories away from being Super Bowl champions. It's hard. I can't believe I'm saying these words in my mouth right now. And we're not messing around. This is real. This is happening. So I want to thank everybody for joining in on the podcast today. I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest of Blue Kool-Aid crew is here to break down. This is the most important episode we're ever going to do up to this point. So let's introduce the rest of the crew. We got UJ.
I'm so excited.
Connor.
Hello.
And Red Dog.
Yo!
All right, gentlemen. So the Lions, they opened up as 5.5-point favorites. It's now 6-point favorites. And they are going to be going against a Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. They already played this year. They beat them 20-6 in Tampa Bay. And this is a Tampa Bay team that's won 6 of their last 7 games. And they are led by, well, I guess, first of all, this matchup, last time when the Lions played them, the Lions were missing a lot of guys. I went back and looked at the injury report. I see that we did not have Jonah Jackson. We did not have Jahmyr Gibbs. Taylor Decker was playing nicked up. Brian Branch was out too. Just a multitude. And Josh Pascal was also out as well. We're missing several
Montgomery
people.
Missed a bunch of that game too.
Right. Yeah. Montgomery got hurt in this game too and pretty much did not play the entire game. So, this was the game where
Reynolds was our leading rusher with like 15 yards.
Yeah, this is the one Craig Reynolds right had the block on the Amon-Ra St. Brown touchdown. Yeah, came out of nowhere.
Yep,
great
block of the year right there.
Great game. And Jameson Williams had a beautiful touchdown catch on a long throw from Goff across the field. That was a beautiful thing to see as well. And that was just like Jameson Williams just still getting acclimated to this offense. This is a whole. These are two completely different teams. Yes. From the last time they met, because the Baker Mayfield, if you watched the game last week, it was the Eagles defense. They have been giving up 30 points a game the last half of the season. So to a certain degree, it's not quite a fair barometer, but he looked great. Baker Mayfield looked great last week. Have you guys seen the CJ Gardner Johnson comments?
I didn't see it. I heard he said something.
Yeah, what he's
saying? They got a great receiving core over there, but they need a quarterback.
Okay.
So kind of diss on Baker, but Baker Mayfield, I thought he responded pretty well. He said, "Well, he also referenced Russell Gage in that comment, and Russell Gage hasn't played for us all year, so I think he maybe was looking at our preseason tape or something. I don't know. That was like Baker Mayfield's response, in a sense. But either way." CJ Gardner-Johnson, always one for trash talking. This is mild trash talking, I would put it.
That's so funny because he always says not to give bulletin board material. Like, he says that like multiple times, yeah. I feel like, in like interviews, and then he says that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's definitely bulletin board material. Are you guys Baker Mayfield fans? Are you pro Baker Mayfield?
I like him.
I like him.
Not an anti, man.
I kind of hated when he was on all those progressive ads. I thought he didn't deserve that much national attention.
I
like those ads.
I found them entertaining. I've always been a big Baker guy. And it's funny, the one of the guy. One of the John Dorsey is one of the what do you call it? Not a contributor to Lions, advisor in the front office of the Detroit Lions, and he's the one that drafted Baker Mayfield first overall when he was GM of the Cleveland Browns. So there's a little bit of a connection there, if you will. And Baker's playing like, you know, with nothing to lose.
Yeah,
really.
Dorsey's going to line up at cornerback, and it's really going to throw him. We're going to really leverage that connection.
Yeah, this is a loaded wide receiver core of the Bucs. That's definitely the strength of this team, the passing game with Godwin, Mike Evans, Trey Palmer played really well for them last week. And then Kate Otten at tight end is relatively solid. He has a propensity to drop the ball from here or there. But this is – so the Bucs, just jumping right into it, they are 20th in points scored this season, 7th in points allowed, 18th in DVOA overall, 20th in offensive DVOA, 14th in defense, and 18th in special teams. They're better against the run than they are against the pass defensively. But nothing about this team – all their stats scream mediocre, which is about what their record was, 9-8. And they won on a tiebreaker to get into the playoffs. And then they played arguably the saddest team in the NFL in the Eagles. Did you guys watch any of that game?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Man, I wish we could have played that team.
Yeah.
I'm not going to knock that, though. I don't care. It's still the Eagles, and they beat them.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. Well. Jalen Hurts was getting yelled at by all his teammates during the game. it was just... What a collapse in every regard. 10-1 to 11-6.
Why is it that Jalen Hurts can't answer a press question normally? He like speaks in riddles and rhymes. Like
I don't know. Maybe that's part of this overall problem in the locker room.
I haven't listened to him.
But really, I mean, the Lions are going to be as healthy as they ever have been all season at the best time possible. Coming into this game, I mentioned all those injuries. That was in week 6 when we played the Bucs. That was mid October, and now I mean the only injury that you had to kind of worry about is Laporta. But even Campbell said like he'll be near 100% by this time. Like he came out of that last game completely unscathed, which is great to hear. Battle
are we getting
that
Raymond
one.
Back too?
But yeah,
they said he might be back. Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
He practiced in full today, so. They'll be good to go. The only probably questionable person is will the Lions activate James Houston? It's either he plays this week or never. Because his activation window it ends this week. So
one day I would just love to see
tomorrow.
Him be that little part
of
the last
tomorrow,
magic ingredient.
Yeah, that someone's got to lead that roster. If they activate him, boop. They got to pull someone
spice.
Off that roster too. So.
Just makes this team epic and go to all the way.
Wait, say that again, UJ. You're a little quiet there.
I said that if they activate Houston, someone's got to be taken off the roster so he can fill that spot. So
yeah,
tough calls here, but yeah,
might be worth it to get a pass rush though.
I don't disagree with that.
I have to imagine that if they already have in mind who that's going to be anyway, but I don't know who that would be.
Like I said, this is a Tampa Bay Bucs team that's just, they're just okay. That's why I think it's a little bit, last week is a little bit of a mirage. I like the way Bill Simmons puts it. I listen to Bill Simmons' podcast. He has like a playoff football manifesto. And he's like, always be aware of the team that looks good in round one compared to round two. Because some teams can look like great in round one. They pull off the upset, but then they play the much better team in the next round and get smoked. I think that might be what we're setting up here a little bit, because the Bucks end the season, they lost 23-13 to Saints and 9-0 to the Panthers. Like this was not a offense that was humming by any means. They did beat the Packers in Green Bay, and that's a Packers team that's looked great the second half of the season. But I mean, they beat the Panthers, the Falcons, like that. Their wins weren't like,
Zeke,
great. I don't know.
Compare them to us last year. Which team would you be more afraid of?
Our team.
Okay.
Definitely.
Well, you know,
is there bias in that calculation?
No, that's not bias at all.
You know, we're sitting back here talking about Tampa from afar and looking at their stats and their mediocrity and all that stuff. But you got to take them as serious as if we're playing the world champs, man.
Of course.
We don't take any team lightly. I remember back to my college days, it didn't matter who we were playing. We were, you know, we were 7-0 and we were playing some 1-6 team. And by the time we were at game time, I thought we were playing the Super Bowl champs or something. You know, the coaches had us convinced, man.
You never know what you're going to get, man.
Yeah. I mean, just take them seriously, boys. That's all I can say. And I know they will. I know they will.
Yeah. I mean,
and they got enough weapons to be dangerous.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and they have an all pro at safety, too. They have a really good defense line. Like, they can stuff the run really well. That's strength on strength right there.
They had my offseason favorite draft pick in Kalijah Kansi.
Kalijah Kansi, yeah. Did he do anything in the Eagles game?
He made a sack, he was effective in that, I believe.
Let's see here.
Yeah, he made at least one sack.
He had four tackles, three solo. I'm just seeing how his season's gone. I haven't really heard too much about
him. He was injured for a bit.
Right, right.
Yeah, in the beginning he was, yeah.
Let's see. He had four sacks on the season and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11 games. So, all right.
Not bad.
Well, it's just he's lineman. The kind of guy the interior is going to have to look out for because he's got that wicked speed on the inside.
Yeah.
That'll really be trying on Jackson and, you know, all those guys. I mean, just because it's that size and speed, he may not be the biggest guy, but when you can move like him, it just makes him. But, I mean, after what we just did to Donald, I'm not so worried about it.
I think the bigger thing here to a degree, I mean, they talk about playoff experience. This is a team. A lot of these guys were on the Super Bowl winning team 2 years ago with Tom Brady. So there's an advantage there. Now, I believe they're at home for a lot of those games. But either way, so this team definitely has experience in a playoff atmosphere. I don't think they're going to be ready for the jet engine loud sound of Ford Field.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you see? I'm sure you guys saw the Ford Field registered like slightly louder than a jet engine.
133.9 decibels or something.
Fourth loudest that's stadium why UJ in might, recorded history.
That's why UJ might lag behind a little bit when you address him. He may not realize you're talking yet.
Ears are still ringing from that.
Yeah, and you brought earplugs and everything too, UJ.
I know.
That's smart.
Never experienced anything that loud before. Amazing.
It's awesome.
Yeah. It was awesome. I think it's going to be even louder. It's funny. Those registers are at the beginning of the game. I thought the stadium was louder in the fourth quarter, actually. So, But Antoine Winfield, you aforementioned Kalijah Kansi, Levante David, Jamel Dean, Vita Vea, beast up the middle, especially against the run, Devin White.
Yeah.
There's a lot of names on this defense. They can stuff the run first and foremost. Where I think the Lions are going to be at a extreme advantage is in the air. I think Goff has a good chance of going for over 300 yards in this game. So, I mean, last time we played him, 30 for 44, 353 yards and 2 touchdowns. I mean, we only had 40 yards rushing against him the last time we played. And that was Craig Reynolds, 10 carries for 15. Obviously, Montgomery got hurt. Gibbs wasn't available.
We got the two-headed monster now, baby.
Yeah, it's completely different.
With a Hydra.
It's a completely different makeup for our offense. And also, Bob just joined the podcast. Bob, say hello to the folks.
Say his full name.
Bob just finally getting off the Pilates machine, joining the podcast.
Yeah, thank God. Hey,
the endorphins are flowing.
Yeah, feeling good.
So, I mean, what worries you guys most about the Tampa Bay team? I guess, Bob, I'll let you start getting a word here first.
What worries me the most, I guess, would be their defense, their pass rush, because they like to blitz a lot, and Goff is better with a clean pocket. So, I mean, I think we can handle him, but I think that's if you had to point to a concern, that would be my biggest one, facing that Bucs pass rush.
Yeah, definitely. Someone else mentioned something on their mind while I pull up some of the stats about their defense.
This is going to be interesting. The other thing too is Baker Mayfield. I mean, never underestimate a confident player, and he's playing with the most confidence I've seen him play since he's been in the league. And last week really helped him build that up. So, you know, you never know. He's playing as best as I've seen him in the pros so far. And we just can't let him get comfortable this game. We have to put the pressure on him, and I think we will. I really do. He's not Stafford quality quarterback, but he's much more mobile, and he can do some damage. And like I said, he's feeling confident right now, so we have to keep him in his place, if you know what I mean. Keep him down, baby.
Yeah, 28 touchdowns, only 10 picks on the year, and 4,044 yards throwing. So he threw all over.
Yeah, nice season.
They did only average 3.5 yards per carry by their lead back, which is Rashad White. No matter what, even if they can't run the ball for a yard, they'll just keep handing it off to this guy all game. They'll give him 18 to 20 carries, even if it's for 40 yards. I think they just want to show a look, basically, when they do that. That was since Tom Brady has been there under the same kind of offensive scheme where they've been horrible at running the ball, and they keep on doing it. So Rashad White is their lead running back, 272 carries for 990 yards this year, which is not very good, and only 6 touchdowns. But he only did fumble twice. That's a lot of carries, only fumble twice. But Red Dog, what worries you most about this Bucs team?
Well, I guess my biggest concern would be, you know, just any internal letdown, because I think, you know, we'd have to beat ourselves to lose this game. And since I don't think that's going to happen, I'm not really worried about anything. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, Connor, how about you?
Baker getting hot, I guess, would be my biggest concern, because he can, you know, tear it up. And I thought he had a really bad game against the Lions last time, but in the clutch moments this year, it seems like he has risen to the occasion. So, as long as our safeties are on their game, because we don't have good cornerbacks, I think we'll be able to handle them.
Yeah, UJ.
Yeah, same here. Like I was saying earlier, Mayfield, he's playing very confidently right now, and we can't let him get any confidence in this game. We have to keep him on edge and keep him scrambling and keep him running for his life. And if we do that, I think he will make mistakes. I don't think he's that well seasoned of a quarterback where if he starts feeling the pressure, especially if we get a lead, he's going to try to be a hero and he's going to make that big mistake, that big interception or whatever. So, we need to keep him uneasy this game.
Definitely.
Don't let him get comfortable.
Definitely. Unfortunately, I don't have his. No, maybe I can.
Oh, I am worried about something, Z.
Okay.
I'm worried that we might end Baker Mayfield's career, and I'd feel bad about that.
Okay.
Well, like we're gonna like
the question was what worries you about the Bucs, but
yeah, that's enough. What I'm worried about for the Bucs. Yeah. Like,
it'd be nice to end his season so we don't have to see those stupid commercials that he was doing all.
Yeah, but you don't want to wish that on a guy.
We talked about those commercials.
I like those commercials too. I like those commercials.
I remember at the time Stafford couldn't do anything to get any national attention, and Baker Mayfield came in, played terribly, and got all these national ads. It was so annoying.
He's a better actor than Stafford, though.
He is,
but definitely more outgoing public personality.
Who wants pizza? The pizza?
That was great.
The cave or whatever.
The Matt Stafford who was acting like he wasn't all salty after the game the other night.
I'm talking about Stafford years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Maybe we can. Jared Goff can take over that role, and you know, at the Ford Field, you know, come and answer the door,
that'd be
get
better.
The mail, you know, sweep the floors and shit like that. That could be good. Jared Goff, I think, would be really good in that role.
In what role? Living at the stadium.
Living at Ford Field, yeah.
Yeah, the king of Detroit. They're crowning him now. And did you see that?
He is getting so much love right now.
Did you see the video of all the fans before? Like outside his car when he's
King of Detroit. Yeah. You're the king of Detroit. He was just beaming, man. He had a smile ear to ear.
Really, that's got to be a cool great feeling. I think he's, you know, he's been around the block a few times, I think, and especially with Campbell. I don't think we have to worry about his focus for this game. Don't make like the stupid pass like you were trying to do to Brock Wright this week or last week.
or the lateral.
Yes. I mean, the thing that concerns me about that's scary, especially from the defensive side for us, is, you know, the one receiver that has been taking over the game, whoever we're facing lately, There's just one guy that seems to be taking over for whatever reason.
Is that a problem? Because to me, it seems like a built-in feature of our defense. Like,
well, that's, I don't think the Lions are willingly say, here, get 200-yard wide receiver.
I'm just saying, it's been our winning formula. Are you really scared of a guy doing 200 yards? Because it seems to just mean we win.
Well, we lost against the Cowboys, so we could lose.
Correlation doesn't equal causation and all that, but
yeah, thanks to the refs.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
Thanks to bullshit.
But the Mike Evans piece is interesting. The Lions haven't recently faced any receivers kind of his skill set in terms of taller 50-50 type winner. A lot of it's been like CeeDee Lamb, the Puka, even the Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson, I guess, is a little bit more like Mike Evans, but like the 50-50 ball type. He can do everything, though. But just the shiftier receivers
He's
that
so
can find
amazing.
Space. That's more the Godwin role in this offense. But they also have Trey Palmer, who can win over the middle as well. The Lions got to defend the middle of the field. It's been an absolute killer for them, especially in breaker routes, like posts over the middle. They've just been going over deep crosses. But they have been physical when they make those guys pay for catching it over the middle. So, I think in that regard, Red Dog, it's been built into the defense where maybe they'll give him a little space, but they'll punish him for it at the very least. Ask Tyler Higbee.
Then Kirby will take your knees out.
Well,
Kirby will take your knees out and take your ACL with him.
That and clearly blitzing has become a feature for getting pressure.
Do you see Stafford said Kirby was dirty in the mic'd up thing?
He
said you're dirty as fuck.
He said it right to his face?
I don't think he said it to his face.
Is that when Kirby started posturing like this in front of Stafford with his, did you see that?
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, they were talking
to each other. Kirby started flexing his muscles. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was about. I would have liked to have been there heard that.
I know that they slowly released some of this audio. I assume they had to comb through it and get approvals and stuff. But, he did tell the Goff at the end of the game to go get his Super Bowl. We wish him good luck and stuff like that.
He's happy for the players.
It was weird that Kelly Stafford said fans are booing her children, which I still don't believe, and that hasn't been corroborated by anybody except for her.
You know,
they were specifically booing the children.
That could be what set Stafford off too, if he heard that story. And if that did happen, it was probably one or two asshole fans, and it wasn't says nothing about the city of Detroit.
Yeah, I saw UJ and Big Z down there like booing two little kids, but I don't know which kids those were. So I don't know. There, maybe that's who she was talking about.
You specifically booed their children?
That's what she claimed.
How did they know?
Yeah, they're like, not you, Matt.
Kelly,
not
you're
Kelly.
Good.
Your kids. Boo. A little strange. David Morgis is the other wide receiver. He had a touchdown in the playoff game.
I can see
the other day.
Why that'd be upsetting.
So, Z, what worries you? You know, you asked us, but we don't know.
I said the one wide receiver who can take over the game. I would imagine Cam Sutton actually matches up better with Mike Evans. He doesn't have the blazing speed or the shiftiness that some of these guys he's gone against recently has. So I think that's a better matchup for him in this game.
I could see CeeDee on him too, though. He's got that big body.
Yeah. I mean, the Lions held him to 49 yards, but Chris Godwin's a bigger concern for me. He had 77 yards against us last time. He's more that
we got a big
slot guy that can get the yards after the catch. Against the Eagles, it was almost all yards after the catch. Baker had a few nice throws, but the Bucs actually dropped a lot of the deep ones that he threw nicely. Most of it was just horrible, awful tackling of the Eagles' defense, which brought reminders of the Lions' defense when they played the Bucs in that Christmas Day game where nobody wanted to tackle anybody. Anyways.
Enough of the Bucs. Talk too much about these guys.
We're playing them. That's our opponent.
Yeah, I know, but God, what else can you say about them?
Yeah,
I mean, really,
they're the enemy. We're gonna whoop their ass.
At the end of the day, the Lions are the better team. They just have to show up. They cannot regress. They cannot, like Red Dog said, beat themselves. This is their game. They're at home. They can't lose this at Fordville. They just can't do it. No way.
Nope.
And it's interesting. It opened at 5.5, moved to 6, hasn't moved off since. So less than 7 points is interesting by the public and their thoughts about the line.
And now that it's been published how many decibels they reached last week, the fans are going to try to beat that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So 140, baby. 140. Twin jet engines. Come on, baby. It's going to be great.
Yeah. The line isn't bigger, but pretty much everyone in the national media is picking the Lions this week, which maybe is,
I know, which is the opposite
concerning
of
the other way.
Yeah, it's a little concerning. Yeah,
if you're worried about such things, the Lions fret not. The Lions are king.
But it would be nice to have Khalif back too for this game, especially in the punt return. You know, just when you have Donovan Peoples-Jones out there, it just gets you nervous. You know, when he hasn't, I get nervous anytime there's a punt. I get nervous because I've seen so many people muff punts this year.
You just get Khalif, nervous when you Khalif wake up in the
feel
morning.
A little better
see?
Back there. Donovan Peoples-Jones, I just haven't watched really do punt return.
Do you just
are
get
you
nervous?
More
when
worried
you wake
about
up
him
in
or
the morning,
Penny?
See?
Who do you about? Penny. Yeah. I always worry about Penne. Oh. Every night
what
before
don't
I go
you
sleep,
worry
I just
about? Let's start with that list.
Okay. Have good nice dreams.
Do you keep this like all filed no, on like a?
I think he's all right. You know, he's PFF number one rated right tackle and everything like that.
You guys hear?
What's
me?
That, Red Dog? Yeah,
we hear you loud and clear, Red Dog.
We don't understand you, but we hear you.
Yeah,
that's
I said you
true.
Keep that list of all the things you're worried about on a file that you keep go down on a checklist. You're worried about a lot of things.
Yeah,
when he tucks little Z in and does the prayers, he goes down the list, prays for everybody.
Pray for Penny.
And you know what?
Pray for Hutch, pray for Micah Parsons.
I like that you mentioned that, Bob, because I was talking to you, Jay, on the way back from the game. And,
pray we don't get beat by the other team's receivers.
There's that popular video of the guy like telling his kid like the horror story of the Lions' losses. But now there, a nice story to tell about their playoff victory. Like now there's a happy story to put your child to bed to.
Wow,
that is nice.
But the story's not over, right? That's just the middle of the story. There's still a story to be told here in the last few weeks, all the way up to February 11th. So
it's just so much fun.
Yes,
just enjoy it. Like that's the thing. Like. At this point, just enjoy the journey because that's what this is all about. Like, I know, like, Super Bowl, and, like, I really feel like it could happen. But, like, you know, it's just so much fun to be here where we're at right now with the season we've already got to enjoy, the potential yet ahead of us. Like, this is just amazing. This is, like, the best part of being a Lions fan, like, best experience of being a Lions fan I've ever had.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's the first playoff victory in my life, your life. No, second in your life. But
I've seen some, like, I've seen some ridiculous comments on X that are like, oh, Lions fans should act like they've been there before. Like, it's ridiculous celebrating one playoff win. Like, I'm like, we haven't been there before. And, like, the whole point of sports is to enjoy yourself and have those great moments. So we should soak every bit of it in we can and not worry about what other fans think about us.
Here's a couple of other, before we get into our prediction segments, a couple other ridiculous comments I heard this week. The Lions are a dirty team. I think that's preposterous.
And it's preposterous.
And they reference too, they mentioned the hit on Higbee and the hit on Stafford, and a Hutch stepped on Stafford intentionally, which I think is also ridiculous.
Oh, did he? Even step on him?
Sounds like you've been talking to Kid Jay.
Not Kid Jay, it's other people. Yeah,
okay.
and the kind of the discourse online a little bit too. It was not a dirty hit. He got hit pretty much right after he released the ball. Lean just happened to be right there, and then Hutch actually tried to get his foot out of the way. He did not step directly on him. This is not a Ndamukong Suh situation.
That's what
Kirby
I said about
Joseph Sue. Has been talked to death. We already talked about in this podcast. Clean legal hit. Unfortunately, it led to an injury. But every hit that leads to an injury is not a dirty hit in the NFL. There's different. If anything, the Rams were dirtier. They hit Gibbs 10 yards out of bounds.
Yeah.
They didn't get called.
Yeah. They also hit LaPorta in the knees.
You've been reading so much Lions stuff that you're seeing this. I don't think the general narrative is that the Lions are dirty. I think
there is a narrative on Twitter that is a real narrative going online right now. Maybe not in the general public, but there are haters out there. And there's a weird number of them are Vikings fans. I don't get it. Vikings fans say the nastiest things about Detroit. And about their fans and I don't get it. They're horrible.
Because we're more violent. We are more violent. And
That's why these injuries are happening. But when we hurt Hawk, did you hear like the first game after that? They were talking about like wanting to like support a bounty for like one of their players to go hurt someone on the Lions to like get revenge and stuff. Like they were very upset about that.
Well, I think that's why they're a little more vindictive, Connor, because they just saw what happened to Higby. Yeah. When they saw what happened to Hawk happened to Higby.
Yeah. They're generally nasty, though. Even outside of that, they've been saying unnecessary things about the city of Detroit.
But they sound like they're from Canada. But
it seems like cornerbacks, though, are supporting him because they're like saying, where else are we going to hit the guy?
This is where
the league won't let us hit him anywhere else.
Exactly. So it's kind of it's a silly argument. So for those out there,
it did look
that
nasty, man. Higby's knee. Ugh.
Yeah, it's nasty. It just sucks. We never want to see that. It was an illegal hit. It was not a dirty hit.
Nope.
And especially the way they throw roughing the passer in the NFL today, if that wasn't roughing the passer, then it wasn't roughing the passer. they call for every little thing these days. So
I will say Stafford did get absolutely destroyed on that because of the way he fell right into Aleem. Oh, my God.
Definitely.
I'm honestly like that couldn't have gone any better. Stafford putting on a nice performance, but we still just beat the crap out of him and walk away with the dub. Like that was just textbook or storybook finish to that game. Just beautiful.
Absolutely.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So let's get into our second half of the podcast. That, of course, is our prediction segments. And, of course, we have our two world-famous prediction segments. First is Roar of the Week, and second is our game predictions. But let's start with our Roars of the Week. And that, of course, is the player, singular, that we think will have the biggest impact on the game this week. I'll say player or coach. Because we've gone to coach, but singular nonetheless.
What about position units?
So, nonetheless, I want to throw this over to Rudd Dog first. Who is your roar of the week?
Okay. Well, so many good choices, as always. But I think this guy is going to be the one who really wins this game for us on the defensive side. And that's going to be Hutch. I think he's going to be getting after living in the backfield with Baker. And Baker's going to feel like he's watching commercials of himself, like almost, but like it's Hutch living in his backfield. And so, you know, and it's like, that's going to happen. He's going to live there and get a lot of sacks. 3 sacks for Hutch.
Mm.
And he returns one of them for a touchdown and an interception, which also goes for a touchdown. And so
he scores 2 touchdowns?
Yes.
Hutch, and we win 14 to nothing.
This is going to be Hutch's, like, look who, see who I am. I this is like his real coming out to the world. Like, he's going to really put everyone on notice that he's just an absolute beast in this league, and he's going to take over. So, Hutch is my roar of the week.
Ooh, all right, beautiful. Let's throw it over to Connor.
All right. You know, I've become a new man in the year 2024, and I've tried to release some of the anger that I had. And with that, my roar of the week is going to be Aaron Glenn. I think he is going to stuff this receiving core, and I don't think anyone's going to go for more than 65 yards. And on top of our great run defense we already have, I think they're going to have a really hard time putting points up in Ford Field. And I think it's going to be an easy win. So Aaron Glenn is my roar of the week.
Wow. Wow. Shocking. If we have time on Instagram, we should juxtapose, you know, your earlier comments in the season versus now. I would love to see those side by side. Because that's
the next thing you know.
Yin and yang.
PC, positive Connor.
Yeah, we're back, baby.
And also, ESPN had Aaron Glenn as their prediction to be the next Titans head coach. That was their prediction. And then Ben Johnson to the Washington Commanders. Those are their predictions. Anyways, just thought I'd mention that. Let's go to UJ.
All right. My roar of the week was going to be Hutch. But, you know, as every week goes, there's probably at least a dozen guys we could pick to be the roar of the week. So I'm going to go with Ifi Melifonwu. And I think he's just going to have a spectacular game with Mike Evans. Mike Evans being the tall receiver that we're not kind of used to playing. Calvin Johnson-esque a bit. Going to be difficult to cover, but I think he's going to be sort of tasked with playing the high side and not preventing him from scoring. And if he with his height and his length and his speed, I think he's going to probably get a pick in there somewhere too and keep Evans from hurting us too bad. He'll get his catches, but I think if he's just going to have a great game with definitely with one pick in this game, probably a 175 tackles, maybe whatever, but he's just going to have a great game along with the rest of this defense. So if he
low growl and roar, but yeah. Of the week.
All right.
Did you say 175 tackles?
I know. It was like a purring lion.
Sounds like UJ getting off the toilet.
Let's go to Bob.
Anyway, my roar of the week is CJ Gardner-Johnson. Mm. Now, this guy, we brought him in for games like this. CD Deuce. This is when we got him for this postseason stuff. He's going to be chirping out there. He was chirping before the game. He's going to be chirping during the game. I would love to see him mic'd up. And I see him getting a pick and just getting in their faces all day. So CJ Gardner-Johnson is my roar of the week.
Ooh. Yeah. Beautiful. I love all the defensive side of the ball here. Very interesting. Yeah. Producer, Kid J, who's your roar of the week?
My roar of the week is going to be Jahmyr Gibbs. I think he's going to really explode in this game and really carry the Lions offense. I think he's going to get like 110 yards from scrimmage and two touchdowns. He's my roar of the week.
Ooh. Wow, that'd be a hell of a game. That'd be one hell of a game.
Yeah.
Kid J, hell of a guy bouncing back after last
week. I know. Gotta love it. He drinks the Kool-Aid. He didn't pick Kirby Joseph, though.
He did not pick Kirby. Enough. He's a little salty about that.
It infects you anyway.
So Devontae Smith had 148 yards last week against the Bucks, and I think Amon-Ra has a similar type skill set in terms of the shiftiness, be able to get open. This is a very vulnerable pass defense of the Bucks. Amon-Ra takes away a lot of what Antoine Winfield can do as well. I really wanted to go J-Mo because I think we're still waiting for the big J-Mo game. Why not now? And he had a great game against the Bucks last time.
Devonta.
But nonetheless, I'm going to go Amon-Ra St. Brown as my roar of the week. I think he has 120 yards, a touchdown on nine catches. That sounds about right. I just think he's going to eat up the middle of this Bucks defense. And no, it's a boring pick, you know, but
I like it.
Nonetheless, I had to do it.
I love it.
So those are all our roars.
Nothing boring about
week.
That.
And so it takes about how we think this game is going to go, but
yeah.
Let's shift this now to our final segment. That, of course, is our predictions.
What? No, I just said what's there's that? Nothing boring what's that? About that pick.
Bob?
Amon Ra. It's a great pick. Great pick. Oh, he's
Oh, he's an exciting player now.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, sorry, it looks like the line even moved to 6.5 as I last checked. Well, it opened
listening to our pod
6.5 now. Yeah. So, okay. Oh, so 6.5 point favorites right now is Detroit with an over under of 48.5. 48.5. Last time they played, it was 20-6. But nonetheless, so let's go around the horn and get our predictions for the biggest game of our lives. Let's start with UJ.
All right, man. I cannot wait for this game. For one thing, I think what's going to happen in this game, the Bucks, they know, they think they have to stop our run game. And all year, Campbell, Ben Johnson, they've been trying to establish the run every game, you know. So I think they're going to come loaded for bear to stop Gibbs and Montgomery. So what I think Ben Johnson's going to do is throw a little picket fence at him here, and he's gonna come out passing, baby. Goff, guns a-blazing, throwing the ball all over the place, throwing them off kilter, scoring at will, and then they're going to have to adjust and try to stop the pass, and that's when we start running the crap out of the ball. So I think that's what the approach is going to be, and I think it's going to work to perfection. I think our defense is going to have a great game, better than normal, because I think this offense is not as good as some of the ones we've been playing. So I think we're going to hold them to, like, say, 13 points, and our offense is going to put down 31. I'm going to say 31-13. Lions going away, baby. On to the NFC Championship. That's my prediction.
Beautiful. And who? And wait, I want another prediction too, UJ, really quick. Who will the Lions play in the NFC Championship? Packers or 49ers?
There's a part of me that thinks it's going to be the Packers. So.
All right.
They've been playing.
Right yeah, now, so. Be a home game.
Lions fans are going to be rooting for the Packers 2 weeks in a row. Interesting. all right. So let's go to Red Dog.
Oh, you know, guys, I'm really worried about this one. I just don't know if we can get it done. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to handle business. I think, like, you know, sometimes you reface teams and it's harder. And, you know, granted, this team is going to be better than when we faced them. But I think we're just that much better even than we were when we already put a beating on them. And I think we're going to basically double those efforts. I think we're going to double the score, 40, and we're going to half the score for them to 3. It's going to be 40-3, Detroit Lions. I think our defense is just going to be very proficient and effective. Maybe a few plays here and there, whatever. But they're not going to get in the end zone. And Hutch is going to, like I said, live, take up residence in the backfield with Baker. And he's just going to hate his life. And Goff is just going to do his thing. It's going to, like, I think UJ's strategy is going to be kind of how it goes down. I think they're going to just spread the ball out and eventually just systematically destroy Tampa Bay's defense. So 40-3, Detroit Lions in commanding fashion beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Beautiful. Warfield will be ecstatic with that result, Red Dog. That's for damn sure. All right, let's go to our two gentlemen here that will actually be attending the game this week. Let's start with Connor.
I think every other game has been a blowout besides our game, so I think it's time we get our share. I think the Lions are going to win this game 31-17. It's not going to be like a blowout the entire game, but I think by the end of the third quarter, we'll pretty much seal it. I think Goff's going to have 2 touchdown passes. I think Monty's going to rush one. And I do think there's going to be a nice strip sack by Hutch. He's not going to get 4 touchdowns, as Red Dog said, or whatever the number was, but he will get a sack fumble recovery. So 31-17 is my prediction. And I think we're going to be playing the Niners in San Francisco next week.
Beautiful, beautiful. Wait, Rod Dog, did you give me your 49ers, Packers?
Yeah, I think, I don't know what I think, but I think it'd be cool if we played at home again, so Packers.
All right, that would be cool. That would be really cool.
my prediction.
All right, so Bob,
I like your prediction. Matchup. I like it. We beat them, obviously, before. They only scored 6 points on us. But I think this one, we're going to take them again. Controlled offense and defense, we're going to be controlling the game throughout the whole thing. So I like this one. Ben Johnson's going to have a good game plan. We're going to probably take the ball early, whether we win the toss or lose it. And I see a 31-13. Touchdowns from Jahmyr Gibbs and Laporta in this one. And just a workmanlike day at the office. 31-13 Lions. That's my prediction.
Beautiful. Let's go. That's all for my Lions. Oh, and who will the Lions be playing in the NFC Championship?
I would love a home game for the NFC Championship, but I think we're going to go to San Francisco. So, Niners.
All right.
It would be dope to go through 49ers to get to the Super Bowl, though. Like, really, just there'd be no question. Like, we took out the best team.
Right. They're the prohibitive favorites right now.
No question either way. If we win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're there, you're there. Yeah.
Fair enough.
All right. So, producer KJ, your prediction.
My prediction is I think the Lions are going to come out and dominate and be focused. And I think they're going to win 28-13.
There you go.
All right.
Nice.
We like it. We like it. Yeah. Bruce KJ. You know, he finally is seeing the light. All right. Yes. Now, my prediction, I like 31 points. Like you said, Connor, I'm going to go with 20 points for the Bucks. I think there's a late garbage time touchdown that gets them to 20. I think the Lions are going to control this game handily, especially having it at Ford Field. I think it's going to be lit. I love the way the kickoff team comes out with a lot of swagger, too, these days. I love that they're getting like into the music in the stadium. I hope they kick off to start this game. I hope they go on defense to start. I really do. I know Bob said you thought the Lions take the ball. I'd love to see them come out of defense, personally. Also because I'm just a big fan of getting the ball first in the second half.
I am, too.
They've been going the other way, though.
They have, and it's worked out because they keep scoring right away because Ben Johnson puts together a great game plan to start games. It's a little iffy sometimes in the second half for Ben Johnson, but he's definitely well-prepared to start these games. But nonetheless, we have all, like I think the entire Lions fandom has predicted, a Lions victory this week. Let's go!
Right. Let's go, baby.
We got a pretty good record this year, by the way.
We do.
I'm just saying.
We do. It's great.
13-5.
Better than all the ESPN people.
Yes. Yes. Even Dan Orlovsky betrayed us last week. He went for his boy Maddie. He went for over team.
Yeah.
Everyone has a brain fart every once in a while.
But nonetheless, this is the biggest game of our lives, biggest game in Detroit Lions history in a long, long time. Because they've only made one FC championship, right? And they lost. It was to Washington, right?
They lost to Washington. Big time, 44-0. John Riggins and the Hawks.
It wasn't 44-0, was it?
So, yeah.
But we scored some points.
I think it was. I might be wrong, but we got beat bad.
Yeah.
It was really bad. Anyway.
Well, nonetheless.
Different team.
Biggest one we've had in a long, 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 long time.
Long time.
And it's going to be a hell of an atmosphere this week. Man, I mean, just all the stories that came out of last week, you would have thought we won the Super Bowl. Like, people talking about what the win meant to them and everything. It's just been so long. They showed the guy on TV. He said his dad passed away. The guy that was crying on TV at the end of the game, he said his dad passed away when he was 14 years old, and he was crying just because his dad would like to see him, and he doesn't have a lot of memories of dad because his dad died young, but the fondest memory he has of his dad is watching Lions games with him. So I thought that was another cool story. There's a lot of stories like that. We mentioned one with the woman in front of us in the stands with the license of her father, etc.
Yeah, unfortunately, when you've been as bad as the Lions had been, it's a lot of generations get caught up in that net of
right.
Oh, what we could have seen.
I'm trying to look up that result.
41-10 was that last NFC championship.
With 41-10 was the score back?
Yeah. Yeah. 41-10.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a tough one. They blow out the Cowboys and get blown out in the next one. But
yeah. The Redskins team was really good this year.
Did they win it all?
They were really good. Yeah, they did. They did. Redskins won it all that year.
Pat Summerall and John Madden announced that game.
But this year, there's not like a juggernaut unless you think that the 49ers are, because I think any team.
I mean, you argue the Ravens are probably the biggest juggernaut because they smoked the 49ers. So.
That's true. That's true.
But yeah, I mean, Lamar Jackson hasn't won a playoff game in his career, so they might even lose that one.
Who do they have in their playoffs?
They play the Texans.
Isn't Lamar Jackson like?
I'm pretty sure he's 0-3 in the playoffs.
He has a losing record for sure. I don't know what it is.
I'm gonna look it up.
All right. Well,
he's 1-3. He's 1-3. He's 1-3 in the playoffs.
One and three.
Who did he beat? Uttridge, son of Uhtred, once said every episode, "Destiny is all. Destiny will be ours. Super Bowl will be ours."
Who said that?
Uttridge, son of Uttridge.
Wow, I don't understand the reference.
Uttridge,
this is Star Trek all over again.
The Last Kingdom.
Come
on. One of the greatest shows.
Okay.
Come on. Ever.
No, it's not really.
On Netflix.
Not really.
All right. Well, this is always the point of the episode, anyways, where it's time to wrap it up.
It's got like.
I do it on that note thing. Damn
it. Yeah, you did.
You've been getting out.
Got more than
on that
noted
a lot, UJ.
Yes, especially this one. Especially this
on that note.
Anyways, so that's going to wrap it up here. You know, the game is on Sunday. Hopefully we can pod on Sunday night. If not, we'll do it Monday. We got to discuss that. Depends on the result, I suppose. So just pay attention. The podcast airing Monday or Tuesday, just be on your toes. Maybe we'll do a live stream too, and then another podcast. Maybe we could do both. It really depends, because this is monumental times. This is huge. So, thank you to sidelinereport.com for supporting the podcast. Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter/X at Drinking Lions. I'm sure we'll have a lot of material coming out, especially over the weekend and when the game is going on. Thank you to our producer, KJ.
Oh, boy.
All right, so they get a Bruce and Jay crushes it. I'm sure he's happy that the season's almost over. It's less than a month away. You know, he works hard on the podcast, but this is a fun time to do it. Anyways, Spotify, Apple, where you get your podcast, please download, please subscribe, please leave a review. Really appreciate that. Pass around some of our podcast stickers at the game last week in Detroit. So if you got one, you know, congratulations. That's a rare item. It could be worth thousands to millions in the future, 30, 40 years from now, when they talk about this podcast.
Could be.
And a smoking lion with a bowl of kneecaps next to him. Anyways, I think that's all I got, really. Otherwise, you know, Bob Connor, travel safely to the game. Any listeners, if you're going to the game, travel safely. Baby. Hopefully there's no snow on the roads like there was last week.
Yeah, that was tough getting Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully it warms up a little bit too, so people aren't like freezing their ass off going into the game. Last week it was like, just thank God we played this one in a dome, unlike Kansas City, playing in -5 degrees outside.
Worked in their favor, though.
I kind of relished that cold, though, Z. There was something about it that whole weekend. You know, it was extreme. Everything was extreme, including the weather. So it was just great. Every moment was fantastic.
Were you glad they played in the dome, or did you want it to be outside that day?
Glad to be outside, for sure.
That's insane. It's okay. That's just insane.
I would accept it, though. I
don't believe it.
I'm glad that wasn't.
Anyways.
He's not saying he's mad that it was inside, though.
No, I'm not mad.
Yeah.
Might be mad, but I'm not mad.
So, anyways, thank you, everybody, for listening to the podcast. pay attention for our stuff coming out this weekend. And we just really greatly appreciate you being here. When this episode airs on Tuesday morning or whenever you listen to it. And we just cannot wait to talk about this victory as the Lions head possibly to the NFC Championship game. This is wild. This is crazy. Those words came out of my mouth. One away from the NFC Championship.
Hell yeah.
It's awesome. Anyways, thank you everybody for listening. We greatly appreciate it. And last but not least, as always,
go.
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.